Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, wrestling fans, and welcome to TNT on BTR. I'm sorry, I almost said live from the Dean's Den. It's been weeks since we've been on. But tonight we begin by honoring the memory of Randy Coley, a.k.a. Moondog Rex, who passed away over the weekend at the age of 69. He not only was Moondog Rex, but a lot of people might not know this. He was the original smash of Demolition. The first event, he was smash at the Maple Leaf Gardens during a taping of Maple Leaf Wrestling. Then they went to East Rutherford, New Jersey for a WWF Superstars taping. And even with the change with the dyed hair, beard shaved off, and the face paint, he was recognized almost immediately. And they started a Moondog chant. And so he did a third appearance at Wrestling Challenge, and then they eventually moved him out and replaced him with Barry Darso, and then he became part of a mass team known as Shadows with Jose Luis Rivera. And, of course, the Moondogs were well-known in the Memphis scene. They were, of course, multi-time CWA and AWA Southern Tag Team Champions. So it is a sad time for us in the industry. And, of course, right now, on holiday time is definitely, you talk about it's never a good time for somebody to go. This is probably the worst time of the year to have somebody go. So sympathies go to Randy's family and friends. All right. So I don't know where Sean and Katie are at. So at this point, I guess I'm going to go ahead and take it live from here. So we're going to get started. One of those situations in the business where when you leave a company, and especially in the case of one John Moxley, you are basically cut out of WWE history. So we'll go ahead and talk about that real quick. What's happened is that when they put in a Shield package most recently on the network, they cut Moxley, of course, at that point he was known as Dean Ambrose, but they went ahead and they actually edited his name out of the commentary. I'm pulling that up real quick. Okay, so in the top 10, in the latest WWE top 10 video, they look at the best debuts from the past decade. One of the debuts mentioned was that of The Shield, who made their debut during Survivor Series 2012. In their debut, the trio powerbombed Ryback through the announcer's desk, and Michael Cole mentioned Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns as being from NXT. However, in the top 10 video, Dean Ambrose's name has been removed, and you can only hear Cole refer to Reigns and Rollins. So, yeah, just like Chris Jericho, and in the immortal words of Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank, Kevin O'Leary, Dean Ambrose, you are dead to me. So, all right. So that's the first piece of info. Now, go ahead and cover some things concerning Ring of Honor. They had their final battle. The weekend prior to the holiday weekend is when most companies finish up and end their year. So at final battle, Marty Scurll was gone, and we'll talk about where Marty Scurll wound up here in just a moment. The day after that, Colt Cabana, and he lost, of course, his last match. He was actually not on a regular deal. He was on a handshake deal, so he wasn't under contract with them. But still, he went ahead and did a lot of work with them, and then went from there to continue on with his match at Into the Fire, which we will talk about here in just a few moments. And also, now departed from Ring of Honor, is Shane Taylor. Taylor departed by losing the ROH TV title to Dragon Lee. So that's the three that are now departed from there. So going on, of course, we're just a couple of weeks away from the first big event of the year, New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom. And Wrestle Kingdom 14 is actually going to be run as a 3-day event. 2 days to Wrestle Kingdom, and the third event is New Year's Dash. And so if you're not on NJPW World, Fight TV has a special offer for you. They're going to on the 4th and the 5th, of course, which will be the two nights of Wrestle Kingdom. Those events will be broadcast live on Fight, and then on January 6th, New Year's Dash will be broadcast Now, these will all be live. And so, of course, those are, if you got to work, well, you either going to have to get to bed early the night before if you want to watch it, or maybe go ahead and take a little vacation time if you've got it. Now the Wrestle Kingdom Day 1 will be January 4th, and that will begin at 3 a.m. Eastern Time from the Tokyo Dome. Wrestle Kingdom 14 Day 2 will air live beginning at 1 a.m. Eastern from the Tokyo Dome. And then on Monday the 6th, New Year's Dash will air beginning at 4:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And that always hails from the Oda City General Gymnasium. Now the way this is going to work with Fight is that you can get each event individually for $24.99, or you can get the full pack all 3 days for just $49.99. Now, I think that's a pretty good bargain. And so what's going to happen is that day one, we'll have John Moxley challenging to regain his IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship. That's the title that he had lost due to the fact that he was unable to make a flight to Japan due to storms at the time. So he was stripped of the title. So he's getting his return shot for that. And that's going to be in a Texas death match. Hiromu Takahashi will be making his return to NJPW and will be challenging IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion Will Ospreay. And then there will be two main events. Jay White will defend his IWGP Intercontinental title against Tetsuya Naito. And the IWGP heavyweight title will be defended on night one, which I'm very surprised about. Kazuchika Okada will be defending against Kota Ibushi. Now, day two, we'll have some big events. There will be there will be eight matches each night. second night will be opened with Jushin Thunder Liger's retirement match. It's hard to believe that after all these years, Liger is finally actually going to call it a career, but he is, and so you'll be able to see that. Co-main event will be Hiroshi Tanahashi against Chris Jericho, who of course will obviously be doing the Painmaker gimmick. And then the main event will pit the winners of the Intercontinental and Heavyweight title matches vying to determine the winner of the double gold dash and the first double IWGP champion. So they are actually going to combine the Intercontinental and Heavyweight titles. So this is something big. And then after those two will be New Year's Dash. And New Year's Dash is one of those events that they always make this one a surprise event. That the card will not be revealed until right before bell time. But also this time, there is one thing that they are announcing beforehand, and that is that this will be concluding with a retirement ceremony honoring Jushin Thunder Liger. So that's gonna be a pretty big thing right there. Going on from there, definitely got to talk about the other pay-per-view that happened this week on Saturday, which was Into the Fire, which was also the official final event of the year, although they did do a TV taping, and in fact they did have the first episode air, so I'm gonna have to watch that. So they did the event live, and this time they actually did it from the studio that they are recording Power at, which is the GPB, Georgia Public Broadcasting Studios in Atlanta. We'll go ahead and start off. The opener had Eli Drake defeating Ken Anderson. This was a pretty good night overall. I will say this. Thunder Rosa, who of course has been a guest on our airwaves, defeated newcomer Tasha Steelz. Very good match. Steelz is quite a good worker. So it's definitely a good match. There are replays available out there if you know where to find them. Then the question mark, along with Student Stevens. Yes, Aaron Idol Stevens is coming out now with the question mark. He's dressed in full gi. And he also is carrying the flag, quote unquote, of the question mark's home country, Mongolia, which, that's actually a type of food, by the way, folks. Question mark defeated another multi-time guest of our shows, Trevor Murdoch. To get back to Tasha Steelz Thunder Rosa match, the original partner for Allison Kay got involved in a brawl because Thunder Rosa would not let off of Steelz, and then so they beat her down, which at the time left Kay without a tag team partner. Melina Perez and Marty Bell thought they were going to be facing Allison Kay in a handicap match. But instead, Allison Kay had a surprise partner, ODB, who just a few nights earlier had been seen on Impact Wrestling defeating Taya Valkyrie. And Kay defeated the team of Melina Perez and Marty Bell. And then this is one that definitely surprised me. Aaron Stevens defeated Colt Cabana and Ricky Starks in a triple threat match to become the new NWA National Heavyweight Champion. And the fact that really surprised me out of this was that Cabana took the pin. He had just gotten pinned the night before on his last match of Ring of Honor, and here he is the next night on a live pay-per-view getting pinned to lose his title. So not sure exactly where Corrigan is going with this with Cabana. Just have to kind of wait and see. And then in another match that was a definite surprise to me, the Rock and Roll Express defeated the Wild Cards to retain the NWA World Tag Team Championships. I had said on these airwaves many times before that I had figured that this was a final run, that they were going to go ahead and give them till the pay-per-view and that, and then they would drop the belts, and that would be basically the retirement point for the Rock and Roll Express. Well, that's definitely not the case. So they're at least going into visually the start of 2020 as the NWA World Tag Team Champions. Then Nick Aldis defeated Cowboy James Storm to retain the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. This had some real wild twists and turns. The first fall was refereed by Brian Hebner and featured Camille showing up when Aldis had given her the night off, and she had previously several weeks earlier whispered something into James Storm's ear. And so she came out, gave Storm a little look. Storm hit Aldis with the last call and got the first fall. The second fall was refereed by former NWA World Champion Tim Storm, and then saw Aldis take that. And then the third fall, they had Hebner take a bump and get knocked out, putting Storm back in charge of the match, and then Aldis taking the cover off the turnbuckle, Storm hitting the metal, knocking him out, and therefore Aldis wins and retains the title. He then does an interview, and it looks like everything's over. They're basically fading everything out. Then all of a sudden, some very familiar to at least Ring of Honor and New Japan fans music hits, and the villain, Marty Scurll, shows up. And he cuts a promo, then gets into the ring, and faces off against Nick Aldis. So this is the situation. Also, too, they did make an announcement that on their first pay-per-view of 2020, they are going to bring back the NWA TV title. And with that, they brought out the I'm guessing it's the original belt, this, because it certainly looks like the belt that they had on Arn Anderson for all these years. First pay-per-view will be called Hard Times, airing January 24th. It'll be again run at the GPB studios in Atlanta. So, and then tickets go on sale on Friday for that. So, that's the current situation right there. So, all right. I have no clue where Sean and Katie are at this point. So what I am going to do is I am going to take a little bit of a break here, and so that I can kind of refresh myself a little bit, and that I'll be back in a few minutes. Talk a little more about NWA, about TLC, and a few other things. So, still waiting to hear from Sean and Katie. Don't know where they are, but we'll be back in just a few minutes. You are listening to TNT on BTR.
I want.
All right, and I'm back. That was Dance Macabre by Ghost. And so I'm going to go ahead and get back to it here. Real quick, ratings for this past Wednesday night. Unfortunately, it was definitely a down night for Dynamite. They only drew 683,000 viewers. NXT drew 795,000 viewers. So have to So they're going to have to AEW's going to have to step up their game or something. So anyway, getting back to everything. We should first off announce that there was a verdict today in the case of Jonathan Fatu, aka Jimmy Uso. He was found after a deliberation of just over an hour. He was found not guilty of DUI. Now, despite that, the speeding ticket will remain on his record. Not sure how they can do that, but then again, this is Florida. This is Florida, so what can you say about that? So now, hard to believe, but of course, Sunday was the last pay-per-view of the year. TLC. You know what? I'm gonna take a minute to break down this, because this is something that we had been asked. Well, me personally, because I was the only one of the three of us that was actually aware of it. There were rumors that had been floating around. And this concerns a good friend of mine and Sean's, and of the show, Tracy Smothers. I'm gonna say some things now that had I known some of the things, had Sean and I known some of the things that back when we used him last a little over a year ago, had we known those things, he would not have been allowed to work in the ring for us. And this bothers me, because obviously Tracy's a good friend. I have actually known Tracy since my earliest years in the business. We used to work for Bert Prentice briefly in Indianapolis for Championship Wrestling from Indiana. So I've known him a long, long time, nearly 30 years. But he posted this on his Facebook page. On November 14th, he was diagnosed with lymphoma cancer. To all concerned, I was diagnosed November 14th with lymphoma cancer, which now I'm on my third treatment, three to go of chemo, which is shrinking the rapidly growing tumors. Doc told me years ago I have blockage in my artery, so here we are and have lost 45% of my heart use. Also said I have lots of head body trauma. Doc said I had a heart attack sometime back and didn't know it. Have felt bad for a while now, but thought I was getting old, LOL. This is not fatal, as it's between my pancreas, colon, neck. A big thank you to all of you, but I look at it as getting a tune-up, overhaul, tires rotated, oil change, etc., all in one, LOL. Remember, life is a battle, and I'm in it to win it, so don't hesitate in trying to be tough by putting off getting checked out in this day and age. You never know. God bless everybody. Again, I've known Tracy for nearly 30 years. Had Sean and I known at that time that he had had the issues with his heart, just the fact that he's lost 45% of his heart usage, there is no way on earth we would have allowed that man in the ring. He could have come, he could have signed autographs, sold pictures and shirts. That would have been fine. I never would have let him wrestle. I love Tracy to death. Tracy, brother, if you are listening or if you hear this, I love you. I wish you would have told us what was going on back then, because we would not have put you in the ring. There is no way we would have done that to you. And I am sorry. I will apologize on behalf of Sean and myself. I mean, you know, there's going to be people who are going to say, well, he took the booking. He said he could do it, and I understand that. However, I have known him for so many years and consider him a good friend, and with the amount of respect and love that I have for him, I would have never put him in the situation, even with the very experienced guys that we had him in the ring with, to do what he, you know, the things that he did. And so that's a big thing right there. I am glad that he's doing better, that he's on the road to recovery. I hope that he gets all of his other health issues fixed. His daughter Jessie, whom most of you probably watch on POW, or not on POW, on WOW, Women of Wrestling. You know how talented his daughter is, and that, and she's a, you know, and she, we've had her run. She's a real sweet young lady, and that, and you know, I would hate to see her lose her dad like that. I mean, Tracy's actually younger than I am. But he's been through the wars. And so, definitely, definitely wants to, we're hoping that he can get through this. Sting is talking to Sports Illustrated, and he says he doesn't think it's ever going to happen, but he has said that he said it this way: if there was a taker situation at WrestleMania, I would listen to that phone call. I could get in condition and I could pull it off. So obviously, of course, we know that if he did do it, well, he'd be going out on his back again. So, it's bad enough you had to do the jobs to Triple H and to Seth Rollins. Dude, let us remember you for your years in WCW. John Cena is talking about wanting to be involved in this year's WrestleMania, wanting to do something substantial, quote unquote. And of course, this year, WrestleMania is being held in Tampa, and John lives out there, so what the heck? Why not? Why not? We talked about Ryback with the Shield. Well, Ryback has come out on his Big Guy podcast and talked about the wellness policy. Of course, a couple weeks ago we talked about Robert Roode and Primo Colon being suspended under the wellness policy, and of course the running joke being that Primo actually still works for WWE, here's what happened. So he says, as far as I know, nothing has probably changed on that. It was all through a third party, Aegis. They're working with WWE, where it was always multiple times a year that they showed up. Every once in a blue moon on a live event, like on a Friday, but typically they would be there on a Monday or a Tuesday. You get to the building. Mark Carano has his corral of WWE referees. They always tell you that you have to go see Mark Carano because the drug testers are here, in which I would always say that I was going to eat first, because you get to the building after working out and you go and get some food. They try to get you in there really quickly and they corral you into the talent relations, and you all sit down in a big group there and you're drinking waters until you have to pee. Eventually, after I was there, I would do my own thing. I would get there and I would eat and unpack, get situated, drink some water. So when I went in there, I already had to pee. You get it. You get your ID. They do the whole check deal, the paperwork. Then you go to the bathroom, and you pull your pants down to your ankles, and you lift your shirt up, and you show the guy your tatas, show him your other thing, and then you pee right in front of him. It is really an annoying process in the grand scheme of things. Well, okay, that's definitely. I don't know what to say about that. I honestly don't know what to say about that. That's just like unbelievable. So I'll probably mention this again a little bit more. I'm gonna have to listen to this now, and I'll maybe talk about it a little more tomorrow night on Live from the Dean's Den. So, oh my gosh. So, well, we already, of course, well, let's go ahead. Let's get back. We'll, talk a little bit of, TLC, and then, go ahead and, talk about, from there, the situations here. So for TLC, on the pre-show, Humberto Carrillo defeated Andrade. Then the New Day combination of Kofi and Big E defeat the Revival in a ladder match to retain the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Aleister Black defeats Buddy Murphy. Viking Raiders and Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, the club, ended in a double countout. So the Viking Raiders retained the Raw Tag Team titles, which, of course, they lost by pinfall in a non-title match to them the following night on Raw. Baron Corbin defeats Roman Reigns in a TLC match after his quote-unquote security, the Revival, and Dolph Ziggler interfere. Bray Wyatt using the Funhouse music and coming out without the Fiend gimmick, defeated The Miz in a non-title match. But then, all of a sudden, when it looks like he's going to go ahead and demolish The Miz under visual orders from The Fiend, Daniel Bryan shows up and attacks Wyatt, and of course his hair and his beard have all been shaved, so he looks like he did pretty much when he came in as a rookie. Bobby Lashley defeated Rusev in a tables match after interference from Lana, and that one, well, the first table it was supposed to go through didn't break, so they had to do it again on the other table, and so that broke. The Kabuki Warriors defeated Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. During that match, Kairi Sane apparently suffered a concussion. She wound up not being used, of course, the next night on Raw in the ring, but she was there. So that was that. Now, of course, they doubled up on Raw Monday. They did the live event, and then they taped a second show, which will be the one that they will air Monday night, which they're doing to give everybody a night, you know, to get them home for the holiday and that. So apparently there will be a new United States Championship title. Apparently the belt has been delivered to the office. but it has not been unveiled yet. So not sure as far as how that's going to happen. Now, Royal Rumble is only a few weeks away. And there is a possibility that a former champion might be returning. Of course, Royal Rumble is where a lot of surprise first-time appearances and promotions, quote-unquote, from the NXT roster take place. But according to the rumors, Edge has recently signed a new deal with WWE. And it's also been reported that he's been seen in Pittsburgh, which is the place that many of the WWE stars go to get cleared before returning to the ring. So now that's the question. Is Edge actually returning? And if so, is this a full return? Is this just a one-off just to go ahead and say that he appeared in the first WWE pay-per-view of the decade. So we'll just have to wait and see. Although technically, it's not the new decade. The new decade doesn't begin until January 1st, 2021. Everybody says it's the end of the decade. No, it's not. A decade is 10 years. The new decade and new millennium began January 1st, 2001. This is only going to be the last year of the first decade of the 2000s. So, Billy Corgan and Dave Lagana did a interview recently, and they have said that right now, every episode of NWA Power has done over 200,000 viewers. They have 150,000 subscribers. So they think that they're 6 months away from being really profitable without having to take an investment from anybody and just running strictly on YouTube. So we'll see what happens if that is in fact the case, that they will be taking this whole thing and being able to structure it so that wrestling makes a profit on YouTube. That's going to be an interesting thing to see. In between times, I have talked to Katie. I'm not going to get into things. I mean, we're okay, but there's a reason she wasn't here. I don't know why. Sean is not here, so I'm gonna go ahead, and I'm actually gonna go ahead and sign it off for the evening. I will be back here tomorrow night at 10-9 Central Time with my normal 30-minute live from the Dean's Den. Thank you all for listening. I guess on behalf of Sean and Katie, I am the Dean of Wrestling Referee, Steve Kane. You know what time it is. You can go where you want, but you can't stay here. Clean up your glasses, turn off the lights, lock the door, and get out.
closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time. One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay. Comes from some other beginning's end.